I want to talk about the topic of how to build a family. How to build a family. You know, and how important it is to be able to be successful in this world and what God's called us to do. Now, as all of us know, two people can make a baby. That's pretty easy to figure out. But on the other hand, those same two people, it doesn't mean they're going to automatically be successful in having a family that will be strong and be able to accomplish everything God has for their lives. And I believe that in our culture, that we make the mistake of just thinking that having a good family and a successful, strong family is going to be automatic. Because it's something we just take for granted. You know, we just think we're going to grow up, a little girl ever since she's small, she has maybe a desire, maybe a boy too, that they're going to grow up and they're getting married and have a family. They just think everything's going to be like, you know, once upon a time. But then it doesn't always work that way, does it? I don't know about you, but have you ever said that I'm never going to raise my kids the way that my parents raised me? And then all of a sudden you wake up one day, I am my parents. I've had that happen. I find out that I am just exactly doing the things I thought maybe that I wouldn't do. And as we have understood in life, you know, we live in a very complicated times. You know, we're so busy chasing after everything. And I want to look at it today. I have a construction mind, as many of you know. You know, I do electrical work. I'm an electrical contractor. And I understand things somewhat in a way of building things. And I want to try to share something today that I hope we're going to grab a hold of. Now, if you were going to build a house, some of you have built houses before, and maybe a new house, or maybe did some remodel. But the first thing you usually do is you get a blueprint, right? You got to have a blueprint. I don't think too many of you would just have a blank check and hand it to a carpenter and says, hey, go build me a house. You don't know what you would get, would you? No, you would have a blueprint and you would show it to that carpenter and they would tell you ballpark what that house is going to cost. Because you got to have a plan. Well, if we're going to build a family, we need a plan. We need a blueprint for building a family. And it just so happens that God Almighty gave us a blueprint for building a family right here in this book. Now, it's important that we understand the blueprint. When I started out, I couldn't understand this blueprint. But when I got born again, things started to come together where I could focus on things and really see what God's doing. Now, the scripture that I chose to read today is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 29. It's a parable that Jesus told about the two foundations. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And then everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not like their scribes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the anointing that's on it to be able to transform us today, to be able to change us into the people that you want us to be. Lord, I ask you, stir up the gift inside of me, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our hearts or minds in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, this passage is talking about houses, but it's really not. The most important thing it's talking about is talking about a good foundation of where you build. Because that's very important. When we built this church, you know, it took a lot of planning, it took a lot of, you know, effort. But one thing that happened when we were first building, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. that we had everything all prepared. We dug away the black dirt because you don't want to build on black dirt because you got to build on a little salt or dirt. So we pushed all the black dirt away, dug down and got clay, put the clay in here. But then I was told we better get the soil tested. So we paid, I don't know, $500 to $1,000 to get the soil tested. Wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough. The kind of clay that we have here, when it'll absorb and do things with water, and it'll expand and contract, and it could move to break things. My heart sunk. Because we were on a severe budget, if you could imagine. Well, just so happened, 1/4 mile that way is the right kind of dirt. Who would have thought? So, we pushed out the dirt that we had here. We paid to purchase that dirt, haul it, put it in for the foundation, and then we started to build. It was a setback, but it was a great setback. Because if we would have proceeded on with a bad foundation, we'd have put all this money in this building, and then if the ground started to heave and move, the walls would be cracking, and we'd have all these problems. The doors would be out of whack. So we paid the price, even though it was painful. I suppose the time we's all done, it was a $7,000 setback. And then we could proceed with building the church. So a foundation is very important. So, to me, if you're going to build a home, it's location, location, location. And it's what you're willing to build your house on and how important that is. Now, these houses that were probably built in this parable were the same kind of house, but they built on two different things. One was built on sand, and one was built on rock. Sand, have you ever dug in sand? Very easy. But to build in rock, that's going to take a lot more work. Most of us say, let's just build it on the sand. It'll be all right. And it might be until a storm hits. And once a storm hits, and here's something, everybody has a storm. Don't think you're ever going to be exempt from some storms of life. But when people are usually going to build a home, and I worked around a lot of people that build houses, and when we're talking to people about building a house, the last thing they think about is the foundation. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about the floor plan and what color of paint to put on the walls, which, you know, is important, but it's not important in the beginning. The beginning is the most important part that a lot of people never see. You see these guys down in there in them holes doing something? What are they doing? Why are they doing that? Why are they dumping that concrete down in there? And what's that all about? Well, they're doing a very important step. Now, like I said, our culture sometimes is more concerned about what we see than what's really underneath. You know, we have a joke in the trades, and when we're doing something and, you know, maybe you're not as neat as it could be, drywall will cover it. You know, you don't really know what's behind these walls. You can't see. You know, people come up and ask me, and they've been hit by lightning, is my wiring okay? You know, I'm not a mind reader. I can't see behind the walls. I can tell what's maybe, you know, if something's burned up at the panel or out at the plugs or something like that, but in behind the walls, I cannot see anything going on back there. You know, and that's just something that we have to deal with. So as we're building our houses, especially when I use that, I'm talking about family, is that we need to build our house on ground that is very stable. And it's up to us as parents, whether you're a single parent or a two-parent home, to make sure that you understand how important it is. Because it is our responsibility, I believe, to try to create somewhat of a stable atmosphere. And it's hard. Everybody's spread out so thin. You know, you got psycho coaches, right? Come on. You know, psycho coaches that don't know when their sports end. Come on. You know, it's not baseball season now for kids, people, or softball. You know, it's football season. It's volleyball. But yet, as everybody gets into it, their seasons overlap. And before it, the kids are run ragging and parents are gone here and there chasing after their kids, doing all this stuff. And they wonder why there's a spirit of chaos in the home. They don't know how to fix it. They just got to pause and step back a little bit and really see what's important. Now, Scripture says in Colossians 2, verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Now, what you and I are being bombarded by constantly is all this different thoughts, all this different way of thinking, of what comes against us, trying to get us to conform. Now, as Christians, I believe, and hopefully we go to a Bible-believing church, that we need to have the Bible as the final authority in my life. Now, we've been touching on this a little bit in the last few weeks. I remember I said, how hard would it be to wake up every morning and have to turn on the news to find out what you really believe? And that's what our culture's doing. You know, things that you could say or words you could use 5 years ago, you can't use those words no more. They offend somebody. Come on. You know, we need to use the Bible as our final authority of what really we need to be doing in our life. Now, as we live in this world today, this world, as I mentioned, is trying to conform us. That's why I've always loved Romans 12:2. It says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's a power and an anointing on the Word of God to be able to change our lives. And once we yield to that higher power, meaning God, Jesus Christ, we can start to change and start to walk in a different level of authority on this earth. Now, philosophy to me is like building your house on the sand. As I said, ideas change, thinking changes. What used to be okay in school now is not okay in school. All these things, it's an ever-evolving, it changes like the tide. The tide comes in and the tide goes out. And when the tide does that, the sand moves, doesn't it? It just goes with the tide. It can't stand its ground like a rock. A rock, you don't move a rock. A rock is very solid, and we need to stand on the rock that'll never roll, and that's Jesus Christ, amen? That's an old, you know, rock and roll joke. Anyway, some of you got it, some didn't. It's all good. Now, here's what's wrong. A lot of churches have compromised. They've compromised their standards on a lot of things because they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to hurt nobody but what the Bible says. You know, some churches say that, you know, they don't want to use the word hell. So what they do is they describe hell as a warm place without air conditioning. I'm just kidding. They don't do that, I hope. I hope it ain't that bad yet. But they don't want to say that if you are separated from God, if you choose not to yield to God, there's a good possibility you're not going to go to heaven. There's only two destinations, people, when we die, heaven or hell. And it's what you say, well, I'm not going to decide. Well, then you've decided. Because you got to decide to follow Christ. God gave us a free will to follow Him and how we lead our families. You know, I was at a conference several months ago, and I was sitting around a table with some people, and we were just talking, and they were saying, you know, and he just said, you know, the reason why he picked a certain church was because he felt comfortable there. Now, I know what he meant, kind of, but I also know what he also meant, sort of, is that that church didn't challenge him. He went there because he felt comfortable with the way that he was living, and he would never be challenged in any way, shape, or form. And that's the way that many times churches are going in our culture. In order to draw a crowd, we got to preach an easy, watered-down gospel. Because we need bodies, man. We need bodies. But it's not about the bodies. It's about following Jesus Christ. Now, I like comfort. Man, look at them padded chairs you guys get. It wasn't like this in the old church. You know, when I came through some churches, man, it was old school. We had pews. And them pews never had no padding, and I have no padding. All my padding's in the front. You know, I have no padding back here, so he who endures to the end shall be saved. But you guys have it good, because you get to sit on padded chairs, and that's the comfort that we have. But, you know, I believe that we need to be at a place that we're challenged from time to time. Now, I think church, what it does, it'll bring a security and a stability that is based on the Word and not just palatable for today's culture. Because the truth will set you free. Yes, the truth hurts sometimes. Has anybody ever told you the truth? And it went, oh man, is that really what I'm like? Okay. Well, then you have two options. Change or go find another friend. Right? Just simple as that. Which one you want to do? Change is good. Change is good. So I like to go to a church, and always did when before I was a pastor. You know, we went to churches where we would feel conviction and not condemnation. We don't want condemnation. You know, I remember a guy telling me that he was in a church, and the guy that was the leader, the pastor, he wasn't really a pastor. He was more of an evangelist. And all he preached was salvation. And he could really make you feel like you needed to get saved. So every week he would just beat on them and beat on them. You know, tell them there's just a dirty old sinner and need to get saved, you know. They said, man, we learned that last week. I got saved. You know, I'm not that no more. You know, I'm a saint. You say, what? Yes, you're a saint. If you're born again, if you accept Jesus Christ, now God calls you a saint or a holy one. That's what it says in the Bible. That's a story for another time. Now, why is the foundation important? Gravity. Think about it. Now, I don't know if some of you guys ever watch a History Channel, but have you ever wondered why they have to dig for that old stuff? Think about it. All these old civilizations, they had big rocks that they used for foundations. But now, it's all buried with dirt. Why do they have to dig for that stuff? It's because gravity is always pulling down, trying to pull our home down, trying to bring our house down, and it sinks and it settles. And all these things. Now, it may take a long time, but nevertheless, that is one of the enemies that we have to dig, that we have to deal with. Now, as we know, if you ever watched anybody build a skyscraper, they don't go 8 foot down and put a foundation in. No, they go, you know, hundreds of feet. Because the taller your structure, the greater your foundation has to go deep. Now, I don't know how great a home you want, but if you want a great, strong family, your foundation has to go deep. You can't just lay it out like you're building a garage. On a garage, people put what we call a rat footing. A rat footing, you just dig down about a foot or two and puddle some concrete there and then level her off and it's good. But then it cracks and it moves. And one thing a concrete installer will always tell you, concrete will always crack. You know, people pay all this money for concrete. Then you look down, man, my concrete cracked. Yeah? It's going to crack. That's just the way it is. You're not going to get around it. But all concrete's going to crack. Now, when you go into your new home and you're looking and you look at the wall, and a lot of you see those nice basement walls, you know, that's 8 inches of concrete. Did you guys know that? It's 8 inches thick. Maybe that far. I don't know how far 8 inches is. You think, well, that's my foundation. Wrong. That's only part of your foundation. Below that 8 inches of concrete, which cost a lot of money, is what they call a footing. And a footing is like 16 inches wide. And what they do is they dig down and they dig this footing in, and then they place a bunch of rebar in there, and they pour that first, and then have little rebar sticking up here ever so often. And they put that first, they let that dry, then they put the forms on to build the 8-inch wall. Why? It's like an upside-down capital T. You got a bigger foot, it's harder to push it down to make it go and make it sink, see? So you want that wide base. Now, when we built this church, we were tempted. Have you ever been tempted? I was tempted. I'm very frugal. Some may call me even tight. We could have done a trenched footing here. A trench footing is where you get a trencher, I suppose they're 6 or 8 inch wide chain, and if you get a good enough driver, they can drive straight. And you trench that footing, then you know, as you're pouring the concrete, you throw some rebar down in there, and then you you know, as you get to the top and then you stop and then you leveled off, we would have saved probably $10,000 or $15,000. I think our concrete bill was $80,000 for this thing. I can't remember. You know, usually I remember numbers that big. But especially when I have to write them. But, you know, we said we bit the bullet and we paid the price, and they come in with the backhoe and they dug down. So that we put that wide base on the bottom because we wanted our building to not sink and to fall. So we paid that price so that wide foot's down there. It's like a snowshoe. You know, if you're walking through deep snow, it's better to have the snowshoe than just a regular shoe, right? Because it's more coverage there, so you can do it. Now, many of you don't know, I might have mentioned this a time or two, but in the southwest corner of my office, when we were laying the footings for this church, there's a Bible placed in the footing, wrapped in a Ziploc bag. It was a Bible that was given to my wife and I when we were married out at Happy Church by Pastor Wallace Hickey, which was our pastor. And he wrote in that some nice things. So I felt led of the Spirit to go, and we wrapped it in Ziploc so it wouldn't be damaged, and we placed that Bible in the corner of that church, in the foundation, believing God that this church is always going to be a Bible-believing church, and it's going to be founded upon the Word, living by the Word, and preaching the Word. As long as I'm alive and I'm here, that's what this church will stand for. Because the Word of God changed my life. I was a mess, and God fixed me. He didn't fix me by philosophy. He fixed me by the Word of God. When the Word of God came into my life and I found out who I really could be, it changed the whole way that I look at things, and I was never the same again. So we are a Word church. Now, another reason a foundation is important is that the house is bolted to it. You ever wonder why them guys have them bolts sticking out? Well, you probably figured it out. Is that you bolt your house down to that. Because in high winds, your house with all the surface surface area, a wind can come and can push that house away and move it off its foundation. But if you bolt that down, that house is going to stay there, you know, through most of the storms that happen. And that's why we need to make sure that we are bolted down to Jesus Christ, and He's such a part in our life. Now, as you know, all families are going to be tested. You're going to be tested. You know, nobody can escape all the challenges of life. It'd be nice if we could, wouldn't it? But challenges sometimes make us stronger. You know, when we resist, or if we're lifting weights, you know, that resistance is what builds your muscle. And sometimes the attacks that come against a family, it's tough because Satan's very smart. He's very stupid that he crucified the Lord of glory, the Bible says, but he's very smart and cunning in the way that he attacks family. He tries to bring division. He tries to divide husbands and wives against each other. He tries to divide parents and children from each other. So all these attacks are going to come, and then when we live in a constant state of chaos, it's hard to fix these things. So that's why we need to make sure that we carve out some time in our life that we can be able to build, that we can be able to help our family to be strong. Because that's the greatest unit that we're going to have, is the family unit. That's the first thing God made in the Garden of Eden after Adam. He made Adam a helpmate, which is his wife Eve. And that was the first family. The first family does not live in Washington, D.C. The first family lived in Eden. Now, they messed up and got booted out. But nevertheless, God has still given us a blueprint to be able to fix these things. So how do we apply this in our life? As I mentioned, all concrete's going to crack. Don't think that you're ever perfect. We're not perfect. You know, don't put yourself under so much pressure that you think you have to be the perfect dad or the perfect mom, because that's not achievable. All we need to do is make sure that we're following Christ. You know, make sure that we're open to course correction in our life, because we're going to need our course fixed every now and then. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need to stay strong. We need to stay tied into a church. We need to make that sure that going to church and, you know, believing God's word and following that pattern is important to our life, because priorities do matter It matters in our life what we do. And be consistent. You know, the last thing we parents want to do, you come home from work, you're exhausted, and you need to discipline your kids. It's hard, but yet, if you're not consistent, it's going to come back to bite you. And be consistent, you know, in your attendance to church. Be intentional. Don't take your family for granted. Have a plan. Decide today, yes, I want a strong family. I want my family to be able to stand when, you know, all these attacks come against us. Lastly, is focus on the importance of your foundation rather than the paint color or the wall hangings. Don't be so consumed about, you know, all the frivolous things that's going on around. You know, we get so tied up in the superficial because we live in a superficial society that you have to have the right clothes. You have to have the right shoes. And we get so caught up in that and forget about what's important. You know, our goal in life is to make this house a home, right? A house is where you live, but a home is where you want to go to, right? You know, so desire today that you want to build a strong family, and we at the church here would like to help you. Take advantage of the things that we offer. You know, if you miss a Sunday, come on a Wednesday. Come and be a part. Keep the Word of God going into your life. Because as we continually put the Word in, you're going to start to see success happen in your life. You know, I started out not really knowing a lot about the Bible. I dropped out of church when I was a young teenager for whatever reason. And, you know, I had a lot of philosophy in my mind about what I thought God said. But once I got tied in to a good Bible-believing church, I started to take notes. I started to write things down so I'd remember them. And I started to grow. And God changed my life. And if God can do it for me, He can do it for anybody. And I challenge you to make that step today. Let's pray.